Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're all getting through the week.
Starting nice.
You know what I mean?
I'm feeling good.
Hope y'all had a restful weekend. I mean, again, I'm trying to center for all those that can. I watched a bunch of horror movies.
I know.
Netflix is kind of letting us down a little bit. However, I feel like I start giving some of my horror movie recommendations.
There's this movie called Sweetheart.
It's on Netflix.
Phenomenal.
Very basic. The storyline is very simple.
But it's not slow.
Even though not much happens.
I know I'm not like a selling. Trust me, not much happens, but it's not slow.
Basic story, yet it really grips you.
A few things happen, yet very scary.
And I love that.
You don't need a lot of gore for it to be a phenomenal movie. The island shots are absolutely stunning, and the female actress is so rad.
I just like seeing female-centric characters.
So anyway, check that out.
Keep you abreast of all the other good horror movies.
Netflix usually doesn't do it for me.
Also, Invisible Man.
I'd started that Elizabeth Moss's new movie, and then it really got good. So for the horror fans, check that out if you haven't already.
I thought some of the scenes were kind of a new way of doing things, and she's just a phenomenal actress as well.
So anyway, check that out. Question of the night, as always, it's up on our Loveline IG story. So weigh in on that, and of course slide into this DM.
Also, hope you're checking out my new live stream show on Thursday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Eastern.
And you can check out all the podcast episodes on radio.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and experts, celebrities, intersections of mental health, music, good stuff.
All right, let's talk about Pride Month. We're going to be in it for a while, depending on what country you live in.
But in service of Pride, a bunch of people came out as gay. Welcome to the LGBTQIA family. I'm so glad that people are feeling more able to come out.
And the beauty of celebrities coming out is that it normalizes.
It not only normalizes because it makes people familiar with families, aware of someone gay, because there's some individuals who live in communities or towns where they don't think they know anyone in the LGBT community, so it's very easy for them to have some bias or stereotype or to other.
But celebrities, we often feel like we have an actual relationship with them, and that's why we mourn their loss, because our time with them and watching them act, it is a form of a relationship that really, and so when they come out as gay, it makes us aware of someone who's gay. It also sometimes, if we knew them prior to finding that out, we are forced to accept them as a part of the bias and community. We're forced to accept that while we're not sure about them actually, like an enjoyed gay, and that creates a needed working through. But it also starts to make it safer because it's in the news and people get hearing about it.
But again, the bigger goal is to close it. Snowboarders, snowboarders, Jill Perkins, Jack Unger, and Daddy. Love people coming out of the sports world. Also, fans of Orange is the New Black, Taylor Swift, and Star Wars. The story is now more centered on the people of color and actresses, and actresses, so that's great. But Taylor and her girlfriend, adorable pictures.
Also from the show Fleabag, haven't seen that yet, but I've heard good things about it. Ben Aldridge has come out as gay.
Curious to see how that will impact careers.
Right now, though, I think we're at the best time when maybe it doesn't have to.
And of course, last but not least, Nikki Bronski from Hairspray.
I never, I I never knew.
Taylor Schilling and Blonsky, especially. I never had any of that, but also that's because I tend to assume nothing until older shows. I assume everyone's gay, or I don't really think in those terms.
But I was holding space as a possibility for somebody gay or trans or gender nonconforming.
Until they tell me.
I think that's like the really loving, accepting, supportive stance.
I'll make no assumptions and I'll reference people and say, hey, do you have a boyfriend or girlfriend?
For some people, it's very shocking.
Well, why would you assume? I assume nothing, actually. That's why I hold space for it to be of all genders.
It's also a very welcoming stance.
When people say they see your gender presentation and they ask you a question
that's the opposite gender, so if someone presents as female, they say, oh, do you have a boyfriend?
That actually communicates you're going to need to come out.
Or someone says, oh, do you have a boyfriend or girlfriend or partner? That communicates, I assume nothing.
I'm not reinforcing the closet, I'm holding space for who they are, and you're communicating that you're not just educating them, but that you're safe, so more of that, make no assumptions, you have to stop using gender terms
and assumptions about gay or straight, ask them more inclusive based questions.
It's a loving act because for some people they've had bad experiences, it's never been safe.
And if you want to have a true relationship with someone, allow them to be able to themselves around. It's also called being a good friend, a good partner, a good employer. Now, assumptive questions that are wide open, that's how we start to kind of start to talk about it. All right, coming up next, talking about performative allyship. Now we're going to see a lot of that at Time. And it's not to call out, although that's in there. That's also to companies learning how to do better. So we're talking about that next. So we're talking about that next. So listen to Loveline. Dr. Chris on a new channel, Q&A Radio.com.
All right, we're back. Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG. So weigh in on that. All right, so here's the talk. We're in Pride Month, and you're going to start to see a lot of organizations and businesses slapping rainbow pride flags on stuff like t-shirts, et cetera, as a way to make money, you know, capitalizing on Pride Month. And allyship, being an ally or a supporter of the gay community means always, always being aware that gay people exist, always supporting them. If you only show up during Pride Month, you're just performing it. You're faking it. You're doing it when it looks best. You're doing it just to look good. You're doing it just to make money. What really shows whether or not you're a good ally is, are you always concerned that you have gay shoppers or employees? Are you always celebrating that? Do you have gay people that are in positions of power? Like that's actually the biggest piece. Same thing with what's going on right now in the Black Lives Matter movement. People are posting things, putting up signs, and that's cool. But have you always done that? Will you move forward, continue to do that? Will you look around and realize, do we have Black people in positions of power? I want you to look around. Do we have trans or gay people in positions of power? Do we support them? Are we a safe space for them? Or do we only do it right now? And is that going to fade off? Because it really matters what you did before and after Pride Month. I ignore what companies are doing during it. Like, great, you're in the parade. Yay. Great, you're selling a really expensive bougie t-shirt. But what were you doing last month? And what are you doing a month from Pride? Like, that's where it's shown whether or not you're really in the fight and care, or if you're just trying to fake it. And another term you're going to hear more of is what they call woke washing. It's people faking being woke. And it's basically when a corporation, an institution, or a person, right, they do something that's supposed to communicate.
All right.
I'm an advocate.
We're back. Question of the night.
Social on cause.
Loveline IG.
But it's all about profits.
So weigh in on
and
that.
Capitalizing, taking advantage of
all right. This
so
happened
here's
over the
talk.
Where
we're in Pride
a new
month,
commercial came
and
out for
we're
an
start
company.
To see a lot of organizations
and it was
and
so body positive.
And rainbow pride
just looked at the commercial.
Like t-shirts.
Larger bodied fat girl dancing in her underwear.
She's loving her life, eating her ice cream.
Just not caring what she looks like.
And just being content, searching for joy,
being an ally.
Eating her food, so
ally
or supporter of the gay community.
She's not worrying about
means
the calories or
always,
the weight. She's just enjoying
always
life and
being aware that
then it turns
exist.
Out it's
always
for a diet
them.
Ice
if
cream.
You only show up during
that's
Pride
woke
month,
washing.
You're just performing
you don't
it,
care
faking
about
it.
The
you're doing
you're
actually
it,
taking
you're doing
advantage
it when it looks best.
You're doing it just to look
on this
good.
Buzzword,
you're doing it just to make money.
And this movement
what really
of body
shows
positivity,
whether or not you're a good ally,
and you're doing it to perform,
always
to pretend to be better. But you're actually selling diet ice cream, which keeps people trapped in the idea that we can't eat things with calories or fat in it
that are worth and value is tied to our body. body size.
Do you have gay people that are in positions of power?
And so shame on
you.
Shame on all the companies.
That's actually the biggest piece.
Faking with the terms they're using and don't care. Black Lives Matter movement.
And are capitalizing on prior Black Lives Matter.
And they're not really in the battle. And
that's cool.
Because we're watching and we're more sophisticated.
Have you always done that?
Will
people like me continue to
call you out?
We look around and realize, do we have Black people in positions of
Halo Ice Cream do better.
That's crap.
Do we have trans
companies again that
have
Pride Rainbow shirts?
Do we support
the parade? But there's no gay people in positions of power
for them? Or do we only do it right now?
Is that
going to fade off?
And they don't
because it really
money.
Matters what you
and
did before
and
after.
And they don't support their gay employees.
I ignore what
in
companies are doing during it.
Like great,
that's,
you're in the parade.
What matters,
yay.
And that's what counts.
Great, you're selling a really expensive
and
bougie
sadly,
t-shirt.
But what were you doing last month?
And what are you doing?
Our money and our spending habits
are what.
Like that's where we will help whether or not you're really in the fight
and spending your money and supporting companies that don't support you.
And another term you're going to hear more
is the companies that you're buying from
don't have people that look like
it's people faking being there, supported.
It's basically when a corporation, an institution, or a person
go to the companies that do because there's a lot of companies
that
are woken up and they're
advocate,
making a lot of changes.
Historically,
they
might not
cause,
have been great, but they learned.
But it's all about
and
profits.
I'm here for that. We all need to
and
learn.
They're
I
capitalizing,
not,
taking advantage
I was not
of that.
Born
faking.
Knowing
I,
all the
this happened
I know,
over the weekend.
I had to keep my eyes and my
new
ears
commercial
open,
came out for an ice cream company
and sit down
and it
was
so body positive.
Wrong.
And so I'm okay with companies trying to be better.
Larger body fat girl dancing.
Does the company have advertisements that feature
people that are fat?
Just not caring what she looks like.
Or gay.
Just being content.
People working there that are fat or black.
So happy.
Do
they
have people in positions of power making important decisions that are fat?
About the calories or
trans,
her weight,
or the, you know,
just
like
enjoying
if
life
the,
and
if
food.
Their company doesn't
then
reflect
it turns
you back,
out it's
then
for
not
a
there
diet
for
ice cream.
And I want the companies
that's
to be inspired
woke
by this
segment.
You actually
don't
look around and do better.
You're actually
that change,
taking advantage,
right?
And
I mean, there's a lot of companies that are finally trying to shift
and
towards
this,
that.
This
that's
movement
great,
of
but it can't be about the money because that's when it's faker
performance. That means when the money isn't there, you'll stop.
But you're actually selling diet ice cream.
It can't be about
people
trapped
about
more than that.
That we can't eat things with calories or fat that
are
worth
and
value as
tied
to our body size or shape.
Right?
And
that
crap still
matters.
It.
And so shame on you.
Shame
on
all the companies.
We're trying to say, hey, we
faking with the terms they're using and
your
don't care.
Design.
And
are
you're
capitalizing
on pride and Black Lives Matter.
And hopefully they'll
and
say
and
thank
really
you
in
for
battle.
Caring enough to call me in.
Because we're watching
and
we're more sophisticated
and
than
smart.
Do, right?
People like me are going to call you out.
That was a bummer. I'm
so excited about that.
Halo Ice Cream do better.
And then
people wrote in
companies again that use Pride Rainbow shirts. And then I did. I was like,
there's no gay people.
They have some vegan ice creams, which is great.
Commercial support
only feature straight people.
It's very
and they don't donate money
against
and they do
nothing
and they don't
take their
gay employees.
It's quite brutal.
So
that's
where
it matters and that's
what
counts.
That commercial
and
is so
sadly,
rad.
So the commercial shows you how it should look.
Our money
just
and
want
our spending habits are what
can grow into
what will
care.
Help make these changes.
Because
stop
culture
spending
man.
Your money and supporting
it
companies
be about
that
how
don't
you
support
feel.
You.
It shouldn't be
if
about
the companies that you're buying
or,
from
or
don't
or
have
shape
people
size,
that look like
you, know
you
mean?
Working
so
there, supported.
Anyway, we'll keep talking about
the power
stuff
in
because
the commercials.
That's mental health.
Go to the companies that do because there's a lot of companies that are woken up
and
they're making a lot of changes.
Historically, they might not have been great, but they learned.
And I'm here for that. We all need to learn.
I did not.
I was not born.
Those issues have to be
dismantled.
I had to keep
my
eyes
on
my ears open
to
victimize
and listen
to
do
the sit down
when
I was
told
I was doing something
wrong.
So we got to keep asking.
So I'm okay with companies trying to be better.
All right, coming up next, we're going to be doing some COVID updates.
Does the company have advertisements that feature people that are fat?
This thing is not done.
It has not resolved itself.
We still need to be aware.
Do people working there?
So we're
going
to come up with some new COVID updates. You're listening to
Love
Line. Positions of power making new
important
decisions that are fat,
black, or gay, or trans.
Are the you know like if their company doesn't reflect you back?
All right, we're back and now some.
And I want the company
COVID talk. That's right.
Got
to
talk about
it. Some stuff
came out last week and over the weekend,
right?
I mean, there's
and,
a lot of companies
scary
that are
stuff.
Finally
so,
trying
first
to shift
off,
towards that.
God,
that's
great.
But it can't be about the money.
He's the man
because that's
plans,
when it's fake
and
he basically
that
says when the money isn't there,
surprised.
You'll stop doing it.
And it can't be about that.
Ready for this
about
one?
More than that. And so I'm so
if we
glad
go up to 100,000 cases
and
a
ethics
day,
in check and getting
if
checked,
this does not
right?
turn around,
we don't
want
to weaponize.
And again, he's the director of the National Institute for Allergy
out.
And Infectious Diseases.
We're trying to
he's
say, hey, we noticed
the president and his cabinet.
A flaw in your
they're not
plan
even
or
smart
design.
Enough to wear masks.
You're harming people.
Those
do
idiots.
Better.
And they're putting other
and
people in harm.
And hopefully, they'll say thank you for caring enough to call me in. 100,000
cases
a conversation, and we'll see what they do. Right?
This
so that was a bummer. I was so excited about.
We're also talking about those
and then people wrote in saying, hey,
after
dig
okay,
deeper,
those returning
then
to certain
I did,
cities.
I was like, yeah, they also
after traveling from
they have some vegan ice
creams,
which is great. I don't
self quarantine.
Dairy.
Like we're still saying
it's
that
very,
it's not just
violence
like,
against animals.
There are cities
it's
that have such
you know,
high numbers of
brutal.
Infections.
So
if you've
that's
been
upsetting.
There, when you get
but,
home.
That commercial
the
was so
socially
rad.
Responsible
so commercial
thing to
shows
do
how
it's just a self quarantine.
I just want the
and those cities ready for this are Alabama,
because diet culture is toxic, man.
Arizona.
It should be about
Florida,
how do you feel,
Georgia.
It should be about counting
Iowa,
calories,
Louisiana,
or
Mississippi,
or
Nevada, North Carolina,
size,
South Carolina,
you know
Tennessee.
So,
Texas, anyway, Utah, and California.
Because that's that is a long health, list. Feeling included.
Feel
respected.
The gravity
health is
about
making
list.
These systems
we
that we
need to be responsible. We shouldn't
by.
Be traveling.
The
I'm sorry.
That make us
I see these people that are still getting together for family vacations and birthday parties and events. We are
not
in
on
a pandemic. People are dying. I personally know people that have died.
So we got to keep
this is real. This is not a hoax, y'all.
All right, coming up next, we're
going to
be doing some
better.
COVID
updates. United States is
a lot keeps happening.
By far,
this thing is not done. It has not resolved itself.
The highest geographic location.
So we're
going
to come up with some new COVID updates. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel.
Ready for this one?
Radio.com.
So sit with this. The UA has barred American travelers from coming into Europe because they're basically saying anyone coming from a high-risk place, like the United States, we get centered and called out. And this just got passed over the weekend. They're like, we're not letting y'all in. And I get it. I support that. That makes sense because we're not following protocol and we have such high rates of infection that we're not safe. Now, we were happily opening up things, but now they're all getting shut down. Here, the governor, Newsom, here in California, has shut down the bars again, bars and clubs. Arizona, they're going to close bars, gyms, and theaters because the coronavirus infections are spiraling there out of control. So the Arizona governor announced that theaters, all that stuff, shutting down. They're still having limits on gatherings. We're not sure what's going to happen with school. You guys, this breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Also, there's a list that's out. This is from the New York Post that some high-end New York City hotels have not been changing sheets or wiping down surfaces. Like, I'm looking at this article. I'm not going to name any names. Do your research. But what's going on? They busted in with some UV lights. This is horrifying. Like, this is really disturbing stuff. And we're still seeing these videos of people throwing hissy fits, like dysregulated children, around the fact that they're being asked to wear a mask. Yes, wear a mask. Yes, we want you to protect others. And no, the coronavirus face mask does not limit your oxygen intake. That's been shown. That's been proven. Is it annoying? Sure. But I want us to be willing to be annoyed in service of taking care of and protecting other people. Like, it's ridiculous that people are throwing the hissy fits that they're throwing because of the fact that they've been asked to wear a mask. Now, I was looking at an interesting article and I thought that this was hilarious. This is from Scientific American. And they're saying that the mask is now the condom of the face. Now, that's funny. And when we talk about it in terms of protective measures, but what the article was really looking at was that how for male identified people, they're the ones that traditionally aren't fans of using or wearing safer sex practices like condoms. And they're saying, not shockingly, that there's also a high rate, and we've talked about this on the last segment, of men who won't wear masks because they don't think that they look masculine wearing one. I think there's nothing more empowered and masculine. I don't like the word masculine. I'm not going to use it. I don't think there's anything more empowering than someone wearing a mask. It says, I care. It says, I don't care how it looks. Also, a friend of the show, Lisa Guerra, she's a journalist. She was putting a post out telling about how she was hiking and a bunch of young girls were like, why are you wearing a mask while hiking? And she said to them, why are you not? And they actually said, because we don't feel like we look pretty in it. We are at a time when people have such high vanity that they will not wear a mask to protect themselves and other people because they don't look pretty, because we still think our goal is to always look pretty. It's okay if you don't look pretty. You have worth and value outside of that. Our desirability should not be what's centered in our lives and our life's decision, but it is. Nor should our toxic masculinity.
All right, we're back
centered
now
for
some
COVID talk. That's right. Got to talk about it. Stuff came out last week and over the weekend.
These numbers are astronomical.
And
this is
scary
stuff.
So
first off,
and all the same rules still apply. Let's go over them again. Wear a mask.
He's the man with the plan.
Always.
And he basically says he wouldn't
outdoors
be
only.
Surprised.
Limited periods of time.
Dun, 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 dun.
6 feet plus away
one.
From people. Wash
if we
your
go
hands.
Up to
bam.
100,000
it's not that hard.
Cases a day.
And it's really heartbreaking
if this
to see these people
around.
Battling
so
it and fighting it.
And again,
he's
the
director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious
literally
Disease. He's the man we're
attacking
to.
Them.
Not the president,
his
cabinet.
Asked to wear
they're
a
not
mask.
Even smart enough to wear masks.
It hurts my soul
when
I
look at the collective mental health.
But he's saying,
he wouldn't
be surprised because that's really what we're being called upon
today.
Is to regulate ourselves,
take
care and compassion for other people.
We're also
anyway,
talking about
yeah, let's do better.
Let's do better, and I want you to put
after
those
okay, those returning to certain
check.
Cities after traveling.
I'm
from
okay
high
with some healthy
shaming.
Some people say
self quarantine
not going to work.
Like, we're still saying that. It's not just
in topics
like,
around this.
There are
so,
cities
again, let's
that have
better.
Such
let's
high numbers
let's
of infections
together.
That if you've
let's
been
continue
there,
to care
when you get home,
those around
the socially responsible thing to do is to self quarantine.
I want this COVID thing resolved as much as everyone else
are. Alabama,
trust me, I want my life back. I want to get back out in the world.
Arizona,
again, we can't do that unless we all really.
Georgia,
on
Iowa,
the rules.
Louisiana, Mississippi, Nevada,
are,
North Carolina, South Carolina,
I don't want
Tennessee,
shaming each other,
Texas,
but I do
Utah, and California.
Us weighing in
that
on
is a long
and
list.
Trying to have conversations.
Feel
with friends
the gravity
and families,
of that long list.
You know, and those around us
we
that just
need
aren't
to
really
be responsible. We shouldn't be traveling.
Follow
I'm
the
sorry.
Rules. So I see these people around at your friends, still getting together, family members, have those difficult conversations, have those hard to have talks, because again, we're all in this
people
together.
Are dying. I and, personally know people that have died.
We want our lives back.
This is
so
real.
We're going to keep talking about hope, that. More tips, worse. Tricks, and thoughts on COVID.
United States,
you're listening to
Loveline
with Dr. Chris,
by far,
astronomically.com. The highest geographic location with numbers of infections. Ready for this one?
Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our
friends at Trojan Condoms. The UA has barred American travelers from coming into Europe because they're basically saying anyone coming from a high-risk place, like the United States, we get censored and called out. And this just got passed over the weekend. They're like, we're not letting y'all in. And I get it. I support that. That makes sense. Because we're not following protocol. We have such high rates of infection that we're not safe.
We need
now,
to get
we were happily
first
opening
off,
up things, but now they're all getting shut down. Here, the governor, Newsom here in California, has shut down the bars again, bars and clubs. Arizona, they're going to close bars, gyms, and theaters because the coronavirus infections are spiraling there out of control. So the Arizona governor announced that theaters, all that stuff, shut down.
Knowing that,
they're still having limits on gatherings. We're not sure what's going to happen with school.
I'm being thoughtful about how much time I'm staying around.
You guys, this breaks my heart.
And I'm also taking a break away when I'm feeling myself getting overwhelmed. And that's
also, there's a list
parent,
that's out. This is from the New York City, the New York Post, that some high-end New York City hotels have not been changing sheets or wiping down surfaces. Like, I'm looking at this article. I'm not going to name any names. Do your research. But what's going on? They busted in with some UV lights. This is horrifying. Like, this is really disturbing stuff.
You got it. You got to do better.
And we're still seeing these videos of people throwing hissy fits,
and I don't know that you have to
like dysregulated children around the fact that they're being asked to wear a mask. Yes,
so
wear a mask.
The question is,
yes, we want you to protect others. And no, the coronavirus face mask does not limit your oxygen intake. That's been shown. That's been proven. Is it annoying? Sure, but I want us to be willing to be annoyed in service of taking care of and protecting other people. Like, it's ridiculous that people are throwing the hissy fits that they're throwing because of the fact that they've been asked to wear a mask. Now, I was looking at an interesting article, and I thought that this was hilarious. This is from Scientific American, and they're saying that the mask is now the condom of the face. Now, that's funny when we talk about it in terms of protective measures, but what the article was really looking at was that how for male-identified people, they're the ones that traditionally aren't fans of using or wearing safer sex practices like condoms, and they're saying, not shockingly, that there's also a high rate, and we've talked about this in the last segment, of men who won't wear masks because they don't think that they look masculine wearing one. I think there's nothing more empowered and masculine. I don't like wearing a mask, I'm not going to use it. I don't think there's anything more empowering than someone wearing a mask. It says I care. It says I don't care how it looks. Also, a friend of the show, Lisa Guerra, she's a journalist. She was putting a post out telling about how she was hiking, and a bunch of young girls were like, why are you wearing a mask while hiking? And she said to them, why are you not? And they actually said, because we don't feel like we look pretty in it. We are at a time when people have such high vanity that they will not wear a mask to protect themselves and other people because they don't look pretty, because we still think our goal is to always look pretty. It's okay if you don't look pretty. You have worth and value outside of that. Our desirability should not be what's centered in our life, our lives, and our life's decision. But it is. Nor should our toxic masculinity be centered in our decision making around whether or not we wear, you know, wear a mask and we're willing to infect our family and our friends. These numbers are astronomical, and this is not a hoax, and this is not a joke. And all the same rules still apply. Let's go over them again. Wear a mask.
Don't give yourself a pass.
Always.
The impact
outdoors
of
only,
together now
limited
count,
periods of time,
matter, but,
6 feet, you know, plus away from people,
again,
wash your hands, bam,
a lot of
it's not
that
hard.
That,
and it's really heartbreaking
outside
to see these people battling it and fighting it, but more importantly, attacking others, literally attacking them and throwing hissy fits when asked to wear a mask.
If you have
it hurts my soul when I look at the collective mental health of the people in our culture, because that's really what we're being called upon, is to regulate ourselves, to have care and compassion for other people.
Now's the time for us to go old school.
So anyway, yeah, let's do better. Let's do better. And I want you to put those around you that aren't following the rules in check. I'm okay with some healthy shaming. Some people say shaming is not going to work. I think it can sometimes in topics around this. So, but again, let's do better. Let's do better. Let's be in this together. Let's continue to care about how we impact those around us. Like, that's mental health. Look, I want this COVID thing resolved as much as everyone else does. Trust me, I want my life back. I want to get back out in the world. But again, we can't do that unless we all really focus on following the rules. We all know what the rules are. And listen, I don't want us shaming each other, but I do support us weighing in on and trying to have conversations with friends and families, you know, and those around us that just aren't really following the rules. So look around at your friends, look around at your family members, have those difficult conversations, have those hard to have talks, because again, we're all in this together.
So much to do.
And if nothing else, man, we want our lives back. So we're going to keep talking about that. More tips, tricks, and thoughts on COVID. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and on radio.com.
Sex a world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Question of the night, it's up on our Love Line IG page. So weigh in on that. We'll be breaking that on down. You are listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and on radio.com.
All right, we're back, and I want to talk about loneliness. And it's interesting, you know, I was kind of looking at my own journey the past couple of days and thinking about how some of us work in professions, especially those like myself that are psychologists, and we work in the mental health world. And it's often really hard for us to allow ourselves to sometimes acknowledge and feel certain feelings. And when I have those really beautifully humanizing moments, it reminds me that it has to be even more difficult for a lot of other individuals. We walk around with these different labels and identities in the world, and they often come with a lot of expectations about competence and thriving and resilience. And again, that can be very dehumanizing because we're all humans first. Whether we're a parent or a boss or a teacher or a therapist, we're still a human first. And we still have a right to feel a full range of human emotions. But sometimes, and I see this most often in my office with parents, they believe that their job is to be better than certain things, better than certain struggles, better than certain behaviors, better than certain emotional states. And mental health is about feeling all your feelings. And we've talked about toxic positivity, right? Which is the idea that you should always look on the bright side, stay positive. The world is what you create. You're in charge of your thoughts. Well, that's partly true, but we are at the mercy of what is said to us, and we should care what people think and say about us. Otherwise, we become sociopaths and narcissists.
All right,
we're
back.
Empathy.
Time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. You know, we want you to explore confidence. Here we go. It's your Dr. Chris. I'm finding it more and more difficult
to mitigate that impact.
Entertain
my larger point is,
and I really hate to say this, but they're kind of getting on my nerves.
I feel like my temper has people to be
super short
views.
It's not their fault.
As a boss,
but everyone in the house is losing it. How can
I
apologize, but address
as
the issue at hand? We need
because
to get out of this house. First off, it's okay to have stress or frustration with those.
And that's something we have to consider and think about.
Because again,
especially
some professions
and
identities,
in some cases right now, around the clock,
it's exhausting, it's difficult.
We are all burning on a short fuse, I feel to myself.
But knowing that,
taking a lot of deep breaths, I'm
doing
a lot of
self-care
again, and
being
thoughtful
about how much time I'm staying around certain people,
and
I'm also taking a break away when I'm feeling myself getting overwhelmed. And that's the work of being a good parent, a good partner, a good human being, a good boss, a good employee. When you're feeling yourself getting overwhelmed, you put things on pause and say, "I'm going to take."
And I'll work with clients that will talk about having
to be more regulated than
your children
doing something. And walk
you can't
say
you can't expect better behavior from your
children
than you're willing to model.
They feel shamed by that,
you know, out
and often the work with them is on realizing
you got to do better, but know
that
or have
empathy.
Being
care
for yourself.
This is a very hard time,
and I
don't
know that you have to entertain
that.
I think it's okay to let some
because some people
be
are lower
to themselves.
So
the question is, they're getting on your nerves. I get
I tend to socialize one-on-one.
That
one-on-one.
You have to work
larger
on.
Groups
no
don't allow the
quick
capacity
fix
for
that.
For deeper relationships
that is you learning
to
how to check
each
in with your
person.
Body, and when you feel yourself getting stressed or overloaded,
so I prefer
and
hang out with all my friends
one-on-one.
So I step
deeper intimacy and closeness.
That
is a
life's work.
Hiking.
There's no quick fix for
to the movie.
People always
want
to know
to
theater, to the beach, whatever
it
is. But I like to go
to track ourselves.
To aware of
ourselves,
learn how to regulate ourselves,
and
know what our triggers are,
where
avoid
the
them,
larger
walk
the
into
number,
them very differently.
The more superficial,
or if we're feeling overwhelmed,
topical,
call out, hey everyone, I'm having a really hard day.
Will be.
Just want to let y'all know, not let myself off the hook, but I'm going to do my best to be as present as possible.
Closeness is intimacy,
and maybe people
not.
Kind of help you with that.
And so
but,
being around those people all weekend can sometimes provide
throw some toys at
false
them, put some movies on, let them go outside.
And I say that to remind people that if you're not
a little more loose with
people,
let our kids maybe play more video games longer or whatever it is, but video games, buy more video games,
really
rent some more movies,
that
let them go outside, let them paint, let them draw, let them go online
and
watch a tour
of
a museum. I mean, that museum,
and you're not necessarily
my Philly accent.
Out. They
people call me out on that word.
On
I have a lot of insecurity around saying that word because of it.
Or you're more
there's so many beautiful things online that are
provides.
Free,
it's
tours of different things. So I would say go online, God bless technology,
research,
access to Wi-Fi,
and I
hope you do.
And some of those things are more self-reflective.
And Google,
and there's a value in that, and that's lost
free things for kids. Or you have to find the key search words. I don't have them. of children.
Destigmatize and
depathologize.
You're able to figure that out.
Solitude. But Google around
but
and find the free resources.
Coming up a lot right now.
So
for everyone,
many,
right?
So many.
Whether
my mom the other day was telling me
that
she was
not,
watching a museum.
Those of us that are following social distancing rules, and that's when
there's a whole lot of things going on.
I have to kind of leave
free film. So much going on. So take the pressure off yourself
because right now that's
but you address it by owning it. You address it by calling it out
as I'm watching my own.
Don't give yourself and others be reduced and set back.
The impact of our time together now does count and does
rising, but it is very frustrating.
But
again, I'm so thankful for technology because there's a lot of things
my life and others that are
fun. Let them go wander around outside
because
kids
just
kids know how to entertain themselves. Don't reinforce the idea that
when bored, it's your responsibility.
And birthdays, even though all these things can be done,
but get out the arts and crafts stuff.
If you have the finances, go hit the store and buy some board games.
But those of us that are following the rules,
go old school with it.
We're experiencing a lot of loneliness.
And
now's the time for us to go old
school.
You should feel
I can't tell you
right
how much reading I've been doing.
And so it's not
how
about
how
many
movies I've been watching,
how many walks
and
I've gone
on.
And
the next segment, we're going
to
talk about
trying to
ways
learn
to
how
to love
sit
cooking
and rethink about
there's
it.
There's a lot
but
of
right
things
now,
we can be done.
I just want to talk about the
family,
fact
so
that
we don't necessarily
look,
have to get rid of that.
Just also remember,
this isn't forever.
And I want us to find the beauty and the value in
that.
Use it as a time to be self-reflective, to be normal,
and I think
to rest, to nap, to listen to the music you want to listen to, learn how to cook and follow recipes, to dance, to build deeper relationships one-on-one on FaceTime or Skype.
To read,
to watch all the movies
smart,
or that series you never got
friends
to get
and family
into.
And
so when we come back next,
and then
well,
things
come back,
I don't know
how
you can
say
that.
Again.
But
we're
going to
talk
about
a
new perspective
and some
ways to maybe
shave off some of the sharp
edges.
There's
so much to do.
Listen to Love
It doesn't have to be expensive.
New channel Q.
And let me just land on
nature, nature, nature. Outdoors is going to be one of your best friends.
Oh, right.
There's so much to do.
So we're talking about loneliness.
And I was saying the last sun, letting the kids run around.
That I don't want it to be something that
do what you
got
to do, bring a book, bring some music.
I don't want it
to be
something that we
slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms
because
it's
a
big old sex of world. We want you
that
to explore with confidence.
Question
of the night is up on our Loveline IG page, so weigh in on that. We'll be breaking that on down. You are listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and on radio.com.
We're allowed to go through periods of time where we're more self-reflective and introspective, and that does require time alone. And so I am a huge fan of people taking a weekend to themselves. Even if they're a married mother with five kids, if you can find people to take care of your kids for the weekend, go away on your own to the beach, to the mountains, to a staycation down the block, or just out for the day, or home for the day. But it's okay to say, today I don't want to be a father or a husband or a friend or an employee. Today I want to just be a solo individual in the world. And if you can, in a very healthy way, set those boundaries, take that time. I do that all the time. Even when I'm in a serious committed relationship, there's days, times, or weekends where I want just to be on my own. And I close my phone off to work and I don't take any work emails or calls. That's a hard boundary I set. Or I'm not, you know, I tell my partner, I'm going to be gone for the week. Again, I'll check in or whatever it is. We need that. And there's something beautiful in that. So don't be afraid of that. And so that's what I want people to know. It's not bad or wrong that you're feeling lonely right now. You know, we live in an American culture where we think that we need a quick fix for everything. If I'm sad, I got to get rid of it. If I'm anxious, I got to get rid of it. And what we start doing is we start creating anxiety and fear around these emotions, but they are natural and normal and healthy, and we will all experience them. Now, for some people, it's far larger and they need medication and therapy and they do need to reduce it. But for the bulk of us, it's called life. And I want us to learn how to encounter it. It can't always be get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. And that's the caveat to this, because I'm going to tell us how we should re-perspective it. And that the first piece is what we just said is don't pathologize it. It's not bad or wrong. It doesn't mean something bad happens, something's wrong, or something's off. And it could sometimes just be a phase. And again, as I'm sharing really, you know, with a lot of disclosure, is I'll go through phases where I want heightened socialization. And I'll go through phases where I want heightened solitude. And that can bring with it loneliness. Why? Because we're not familiar with it. Because with our phones and technology, we are so hyper-connected that it's rare that we are fully alone or on our own. Because I'm not talking in a literal sense. Remember, our brain, our psychology is very symbolic. It can symbolize. And so even though you might be alone in your home, if you are looking at pictures of someone or on Instagram or texting or talking to them, you symbolically are spending time with them. It doesn't necessarily meet our needs to the depth that real eye contact or touch would, but you are symbolically spending time with them. And so I want us to honor that it's rare that we're alone, even if we're without our technology and in the bathtub. If we're thinking about someone, we are symbolically, again, spending time with them. Now, this is why with grief and loss, I talk to people about the fact that they are no longer someone that might have passed, that they are no longer physically here, but they're very much emotionally and psychologically here and present. That psychologically and emotionally, they haven't gone anywhere, and we can still spend time with them. My father passed a couple years ago, and I still spend a lot of time with him. I still talk to him all the time. I don't believe he's gone. I believe his physical form is gone, but emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, he's more present than he ever was before. And I spend a lot of time with him, and I talk to him, and he talks back to me, and he's still here. And our culture is afraid of concepts like that, but I don't subscribe to that. I believe we can talk to people that have passed and they are very present. You know, it's just
all right. We're like back. And, I want to talk about loneliness.
Materialism. And we are so, it's interesting that we don't,
you know,
believe
I was kind of looking at my own journey the past couple of days and thinking about how some of us work in professions, especially those like myself that are psychologists and work in
the mental health
world.
And
it's often really hard for us to allow ourselves to sometimes acknowledge and feel certain feelings.
There's so much of the world.
When I have those really beautifully humanizing moments, it reminds me that
and it's
it
there
has to
we
be even more
there,
difficult for a lot of other individuals.
Until it's been proven.
We walk around with these different labels and identities in the world, and they often come with a lot of expectations about competence and thriving and resilience. And again, that can be very dehumanizing because we're all humans first, whether we're a parent.
Loneliness.
Or a boss,
we spend time
or a
with
teacher,
people,
or a therapist,
we
we're still a human first. And we still have
a
right to feel
thing,
a
to
full
say,
range
oh,
of human emotions.
And that's
but
not
sometimes,
bad or wrong. Let me
and
this.
I see this
what,
most
what
often in my office
provide?
With parents.
What
they believe that their job
that
is to be better than
around
certain
others,
things, better than certain struggles,
focused on them.
Better than certain behaviors, better than certain emotional
don't
states.
Don't drop into shame.
And mental health is about feeling all your feelings. And we've talked about toxic positivity, right? Which is the idea that you should always look on the bright side, stay positive. The world is what you create. You're in charge of your thoughts. Well,
that's
partly true. But we are at the mercy of what is said to us, and we should care what people think and say about us. Otherwise, we become sociopaths and narcissists. It's called empathy, and we are relational beings, and our brains and nervous systems wire, and we do get infected with other people's emotions. That's actually acceptable and healthy, and it's about, you know,
don't go
really
into
setting boundaries, seeing and deciding on, you know,
oh, I'm
the
here
health
with
of the
you,
people you're around
okay
to mitigate
blah, blah,
that
blah.
Impact.
Just say, I'm sorry
but
to hear that.
My
tell
larger
more,
point is
right?
that mental health is to feel all your feelings.
With it. Maybe tell them
and so I want
about
people to be able to show
lonely.
Vulnerability
not
and
having
weakness
overcome
as a boss,
because they don't need to overcome
as
pressure, anxiety, or loneliness,
as a
it's
leader,
at that functional level,
because
that
shouldn't be seen as
encounter.
You being
but
incompetent
it's about knowing
or not
it's
worthy of
to
trust.
And so I love sharing stories,
and that's something we have to consider and think about,
again,
because again, there are some professions and identities that really deny
us
that capacity.
Eastern philosophy is
and right now
says,
in the COVID pandemic, right, everything's happening within
shopping and live your life.
Everything's a little amplified, and I was sitting again and thinking about loneliness and how culturally there can be a little bit of shame.
Again, I'm not talking about people with clinical depression, right?
And
clinical
we are so hyper focused on
talking about people with functional
having a group or a squad
depression and anxiety.
And I'll work with clients that will talk about having been out during the weekend on
like
their own
the
doing something, and they walk by
forward.
A restaurant
so
or
again,
a bar
don't shame
and they see
don't
people
be
out
it.
Together in
see
groups
loneliness.
And they feel shamed by that as an opportunity. And often the work with them
so
is on realizing do they want to be a part of that or have they been led to believe that they should? Have they been led to believe by themselves or others that that's a better way of being or more
struggling?
Because some people are lower level social or more introverted. I am. I tend to socialize one-on-one only. Larger groups don't allow the capacity for deep relationships to be built
with
each person.
The angels
it's
well.
Just not possible.
We get
so I prefer and hang out with all my friends one-on-one so I can have deeper intimacy and closeness. So I go hiking for dinner, to the movie, to a museum, to theater, to the beach, whatever it is. But I like to go with one, maybe two people so we can have a lot of depth. All right,
question
of
the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Wait on that.
And then
we'll
be sliding into those DMs.
Listen to Loveline with Dr.
Often
Chris,
that
new channel
intimacy
Q,
will be. It
radio,
can actually be an intimacy blocker. But we often believe that proximity
right,
and closeness is intimacy, and it's not. And so
question of the night
is
always up on our Loveline
weekend can sometimes provide
story,
a
so
false sense of closeness.
Out,
but my larger point,
and I
say that to remind people that if you're not feeling close or deep to these people, that might be why. And try to really build one-to-one relationships with
people.
That's how you really get that depth.
And more than half of people think
everyone has to do that. And some people have
that
FOMO, the fear of missing
with that right now.
And you're not necessarily
everything
missing out.
Might
they
go
are sometimes
concerts,
missing out
sports,
on what?
Jobs,
your one-on-one
we're
see or your more
isolative the
continuance way of being.
Some things might never go back
it's
to
just
real time.
Different.
However,
I know for me, I'm a big fan of research and study, and I like reading, and
some of those things are more self-reflective
from dehydration,
and there's a value in that, and that's lost sometimes when you're out with others. So again, my point is, we need to culturally destigmatize and depathologize loneliness and solitude.
Even though studies have shown,
but loneliness is something that's coming up a lot right now for everyone.
I love this kind of stuff.
I love whether that is normal for them or not, because those of us that are following social distancing rules, and that's what I'm really speaking to, I have to kind of leave out this conversation those that aren't following rules and regulations.
I
can't, because right now that's also a personal frustration I have, that
okay,
as I'm watching my own life and others be reduced and set back because of COVID numbers rising, it is very frustrating and disappointing to see people that are making my life and others that are following the rules lives more difficult because they just insist on going to parties and the beach and barbecues and birthdays, even though all these things can be done later or next year, but they insist. And so I'm leaving y'all outside of this conversation. But those of us that are following the rules,
and tons of money, and that
we're experiencing a lot of loneliness.
On this stuff.
And
so
that isn't pathological. You should feel lonely right now during this time. And so it's not about how do I not feel lonely. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about ways to kind of sit with it and rethink about it. But right now, I just want to talk about the fact that we don't necessarily have to get rid of that. That is part of what's happening right now.
Because it's not good for mental health.
And I want us to find the beauty and the values in that. Use it as a time to be self-reflective, to journal, to rest,
half-time,
to nap, to listen to the music you want to listen to learn how to cook and follow recipes,
this,
to dance, to build deeper relationships one-on-one on FaceTime or Skype, to read,
also,
to watch all the movies or that series
that
you never got to get into.
So
when we come back next, I don't know how you even say that, but we're going to talk about a new perspective and some ways to maybe shave off some of the sharp edges of that loneliness. Listen to Loveline to Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and on radio.com.
Good point. I had a younger brother that he had an eating disorder due to being a wrestler, trying to make weight. It impacted his mood. He started with depression, anxiety, developed an eating disorder, and still struggles with that. And so I totally appreciate what you're saying. And a lot of gymnasts, yes, they have a lot of eating disorders and also harm and injure their body with overtraining. Yeah, there's a lot of damage. Football, I mean, do you see what happens with broken bones, but more importantly, the head injuries and concussions and the brain damage? And we love watching and supporting that. So I appreciate what you're saying. What's the difference? Either we look out for people's mental health and physical health, and that comes before sports, or it doesn't. But I guess I hear what you're saying. It's an odd line to draw where we're just going to problematize online and not offline. Someone said UC Irvine has a department dedicated to gamers. There was an ESPN doc about it, and everyone on the show seemed okay. Note, yes. That's right. Yessie's fiance Milo is the on-site psychologist for the UC Irvine gaming program. We love Dr. Milo and Yessie from AMP. Shout out to both of them. He's a big fan of online gaming. He's talked about the really beautiful strengths and assets that can come from it. So we had him on the show. We'll have to have him back on talking more about it. But he's on our show. I'm listening live. Back then it was called I'm Listening, Stay Connected. So check it out. It's on all the radio.com handles, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And he was our guest more than once. And this was one of the things we talked about. So those that want to go back and kind of deep dive, there it is for you. Check it out. All right, let's see what else people said. Someone said, I feel like there's a mental risk with all sports, so why would gaming be different? Bam, I 100% agree with that. That was my stance as well.
Oh, right. So we're talking about loneliness, support, and I was saying in the last segment,
race car driving.
I mean, that I don't want it to be something that we fear. I don't want it to be something that we desperately avoid. Because there's a beauty in
people
it, and there's a strength in
cheerleading,
that. And that socialization is
all sports
beautiful.
Have a risk. I actually
we are
really
socially
hurt my
wired.
Knees from
we thrive
some
track
in field
stuff,
but that doesn't mean
day,
that has to always be our goal
so
or our priority.
I'm with you
we're
on that. It's really
fascinating
time
how we'll run our
self
bodies down
to
service
of introspective,
and
that does require
time
alone.
Too far.
And so I am a huge fan of people taking
esports
into themselves,
even if they're a married mother with five kids. If you can find people to take care of your kids for the weekend, go away on your own to the beach, to the mountains,
I wasn't
to a staycation down the block.
When I found out that
or
you
just out for the day
or
home
for the
app,
day or this
but it's okay
just
to say today I don't want to be
just
a father
they're
or
not
a husband
playing themselves.
Or a friend
I think. I might
or
be
an employee
today I want to just
I'm
be a solo individual in the world and if you
but
can
I'm more of
in a very
book
healthy
person.
Way set
you know
those
know
boundaries
booking
take
food.
That time I do that all the time
really so
even when I'm in a serious committed relationship there's
question of the night for those that are just joining us in New study by World of Warships, 56% of people say esports should be in the Olympics.
Work emails or calls.
I love that.
That's a hard boundary.
So the question tonight was, should esports be an Olympic?
I tell my partner,
even though
I'm going to be gone for the
week, too much check in or whatever it is. We need that.
And there's something
else. I'm going to end on this one. Said, I'm sure there's
that's what I want people to know.
Olympic sport.
It's not bad or wrong.
But how would you even watch people play
in an American culture where we think that we need a quick fix for everything?
I'm sad. I got
to
get rid of it.
I'm anxious. I got to get rid of sports.
And what we start doing is,
but they do.
They do.
There's a huge world of
emotions, but they are natural and normal and healthy.
Things we learn.
Experience them.
But we're not aware of.
For some people, it's far larger. And they need medication and therapy, and they do need to reduce it. But for the bulk of us, it's called life.
So,
and I want us to learn how to encounter
it. You never know where an entire career or income can come from.
And that's the caveat to this, because I'm going to
knock it, parents. Don't knock it.
Tell us how we should.
All right, coming up next, we're going to be sliding into the DMs.
The first piece is what we just said is don't pathologize.
New channel Q,
bad or wrong. It doesn't mean something bad happens, something's wrong, or something's off. And it could sometimes just be a phase.
And again, as I'm sharing really, you know, with a lot of disclosure, is I'll go through phases where I want heightened socialization. And I'll go through phases where I want heightened solitude. And that can bring with it loneliness. Why? Because we're not familiar with it. Because with our phones and technology, we are so hyper-connected that it's rare that we are fully alone or on our own. Because I'm not talking in a literal sense. Remember, our brain, our psychology is very symbolic. It can symbolize. And so even though you might be alone in your home, if you are looking at pictures of someone or on Instagram or texting or talking to them, you symbolically are spending time with them. It doesn't necessarily meet our needs to the depth that real eye contact or touch would, but you are symbolically spending time with them. And so I want us to honor that, that it's rare that we're alone, even if we're without our technology and in the bathtub. If we are thinking about someone, we are symbolically, again, spending time with them. Now, this is why with grief and loss, I talk to people about the fact that they are no longer someone that might have passed or that they are no longer physically here, but they are very much emotionally and psychologically here and present. That psychologically and emotionally, they haven't gone anywhere, and we can still spend time with them. My father passed a couple years ago, and I still spend a lot of time with him. I still talk to him all the time. I don't believe he's gone. I believe his physical form is gone, but emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, he's more present than he ever was before. And I spend a lot of time with him, and I talk to him, and he talks back to me, and he's still here. And our culture is afraid of concepts like that. But I don't subscribe to that. I believe we can talk to people that have passed and they are very present. You know, it's just kind of like the fact that, you know, physicality, materialism, we are so obsessed with that, that we don't believe or trust things that are not easily accessed with our five senses. We think if I can't see it, touch it, smell it, or hear it, it's not there. But remember, we have we have colors and sounds that we can't see, but animals can. Or science and technology can show us that they exist. Atoms, there's so much of the world that's swimming around us that we don't have access to with our five senses. And it's there. We can prove it's there, but we don't believe it until it's been proven otherwise, because we only trust what's accessible with our senses. And that will let you down. There's a whole world around you. And the most important things in life aren't things that we can touch or quantify. Things like love and relationality and trust. And so we have to start believing in things that are beyond our five senses. So again, loneliness. We can spend time with people nonetheless. We have to get familiar with it.
Start building in time.
That's a beautiful thing to say, I'm feeling lonely, and that's not bad or wrong. Let me sit in this. What can this provide? What experience does this allow me to have that I can't otherwise when I'm around others, distracted or focused on them? Like, that is stunning. And don't drop into shame.
And also
own
it.
When you come back, talk about it. Because remember, mental health, the more you talk about yours, the more people get familiar hearing it talked about. It normalizes it for them. It also lets them know that they can come to you to talk about their experience. That is stunning. I think that's one of the biggest gifts we can give when we talk about our mental health and our mental health journey is we say, this is a safe space. This is a safe relationship where that kind of discussion and work can happen, right? So don't shame or pathologize that. When someone comes to you, try to hold that space with them. Don't go into that toxic positivity around their loneliness of, I'm here with you, or it'll be okay, or blah, blah. Just say, I'm sorry to hear that. Tell me more, right? Help them learn how to sit more with it. Maybe tell them stories about you having been lonely. Not having overcome it, because we don't need to overcome depression or anxiety or loneliness if it's at that functional level, that normal human level that we're all going to encounter. But it's about knowing that it's allowed to just be there. And so I love sharing stories about dealing with loneliness, depression, anxiety. Again, not overcome. overcoming it. It doesn't need to be overcome. It's meant to be carried with us. And this is where Eastern philosophy is stunning. It says, just like when you're in a good mood, you go shopping and live your life, we need to learn how to carry these other moods with us as well. You're sad? Go shopping. You're happy? Go shopping. And again, I'm not talking about people with clinical depression or anxiety. I've left that out. I'm talking about people with functional, normal, healthy levels of depression and anxiety. We put them in our backpack, like all the other emotions, and we move forward. So again, don't shame it. Don't be afraid of it. See loneliness as an opportunity. So much can come from that, right? Like I said, that's when I produce my most.